bangthebook.com.
Hello once again, everybody. Thank you for joining me here on this Friday, August 30th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next hour or so. Let's go over all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Happy to have you as we finish up this week here on Bang the Book Radio. It's going to be kind of an interesting, a little bit off-the-cuff show here today. Typically, I have my show recorded on Thursday night for Friday, but unable to get together with Christian Pina yesterday, so going to record the first half of the show by myself today, and the second half of the show will be the odds report with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. So I'll probably go 20 or 25 minutes here just kind of riffing about some different things, and then that Skype segment with Brent will be coming up to finish off this week on the show. So with that being said, I'm recording on Blog Talk Radio because I couldn't record a Skype call by myself. Now we've got the Skype call at the second half of the show. So I'll do everything that I possibly can here from a network or from an editing standpoint, excuse me, to try and smooth this thing out, get it all together. But I want to make sure that I got the show out in as timely of a fashion as I could. So didn't want to wait any longer on anybody to do the first half of the program. Second half of the program's already done. So that's how we'll finish up this week here on Bang the Book Radio. Over at bangthebook.com, we are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information. Lots of great stuff over there being written up by our very talented cast of writers. Unfortunately, Corey Pabst with a change in his work schedule. So his Market Watch article, he won't be able to do it anymore. So I picked it up here this week for college football. I'll also do one for the NFL over at the website. So you can keep an eye out for those every Friday here over the course of the season with some thoughts on where sharp action is, what's going on with some of these line movements out in the marketplace. Basically, it'll be a good complimentary piece to my opening line report, which gets posted every Monday over at bangthebook.com for both college football and the NFL. So I'll open it up on Mondays. I'll close it out on Fridays. Obviously, we'll see what happens with those line moves on Saturday and Sundays for the games. And that's where Bang the Book Radio comes in, where we'll talk about all that stuff over the course of the five shows a week here on the program. Also over at the website, my college football power ratings are updated. Alan Moody's starting to do his football stuff for his college football total of the week, college football and NFL system picks. He'll be doing a lot of stuff for us here over the course of the football season, so plenty to keep an eye on with that. He's also still doing baseball. He's a better man than I, as I gave up baseball a few weeks ago, but he's still doing it over at bangthebook.com to give us a presence on the diamond, so good to see that. Speaking of a presence on the diamond, however, I will be doing the Bettors Box on Monday. I did get a Monday mailbag question already as well. So at Skating Tripods on Twitter or Adam at bangthebook.com. If you have any questions for the Monday mailbag, also going to be doing that Bettors Box edition there before we chat on Monday with Kyle Hunter for our week two college football first look. So you look forward to that coming up after the weekend. But at the website, we got some NASCAR stuff written up for you. I'll be doing a UFC preview here today. We'll have a lot of college football content, a lot of NFL content. Going to start rolling out some NHL stuff next month, some NBA stuff next month as well. So, you know, hey, the sports calendar never stops, and we cover all the different markets for you over at bangthebook.com. As you know, this and every edition of Bang the Book Radio, presented by our friends over at DSI Sportsbook. BTB and the number 200 is that promo code. 100% deposit match bonus for the sportsbook. 100% deposit match bonus for the live casino at BetDSI. It's only a game until you bet it. As you know, I was out in Vegas earlier in the week here, got signed up for the Westgate Super Contest, the Circa Million, and the Golden Nugget Ultimate Football Challenge. If you want to get involved in any of those or the William Hill Pick'em, Vegas Maddie and Tony over at footballcontest.com are our preferred proxy service. They've done a great job for us. We know they'll do a great job for you as well. Tell them that Bang the Book Radio sent you, and you'll get a nice offer there, or you get a nice opportunity there from them to be part of their proxy program. And look, you know, if you live outside of the state of Nevada, you do have to sign up in person for all of the contests, but you have to have a proxy put in your picks because you're outside of the state. So that's where Maddie and Tony come in. They've done such a great job for us. It was good to catch up with them last weekend and see them down at the Westgate and also downtown. So, again, Maddie and Tony over at footballcontest.com. And with that in mind here, I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit about the Super Contest and the Circa Million, as well as the Golden Nugget Ultimate Football Challenge. I'll give you an idea of what they are in case you can make a last-minute trip out there to Vegas and get signed up. also give you some thoughts on my strategies for those contests as well. And yes, the Golden Nugget Ultimate Football Challenge includes college football, but it does not include week one of college football. It starts with week two of the college football season when the NFL starts for week one. So if you're not signed up already, don't worry, you didn't miss anything. But the Golden Nugget, you know, last year we finished tied for 20th, and they paid out the top 20 spots, but for 20th place, they chopped $1,000 three ways. So $1,000 entry fee, we made the money, but lost money. Unfortunately, that's still the operating rule here for this year. They didn't change that at all. But it's one of those things where we finished a half point behind the people in front of us. And in fact, we even had a higher cover rate. We had a higher win rate than the people ahead of us, but didn't have as many pushes or however the math worked out. So we wind up finishing tied for 20th there in the money, lost a little bit of money. But that one's particularly interesting with the NFL and the college football options. Now, across the board with these contests, the lines come out on Wednesday. So you do have a lot of people that just try to grab line value. They try to take advantage of what's happened out in the marketplace. You know, let's say in the Golden Nugget, you can get a 7.5 on a number that's now 6.5 or something like that for college football or the NFL. And a lot of people do just grab those line moves. Also, a lot of people, you know, go the traditional route, handicapping the games, looking for opportunities, stuff like that. For us, it's certainly a hybrid type of strategy where, yeah, if there are some line moves and you can get some line equity, those are things that you want to look to take advantage of. On the other hand, you know, I like to handicap the games. I like to go through the process, see what I like, see what my power ratings say from a college football standpoint, look at some of the situational elements that are in play, and then go from there. So it's a total package handicap for us. You know, some people out there, they try to actively go against the consensus. They try to be contrarian. And sometimes that works really, really well in the Super Contest. Sometimes it doesn't. You know, we don't necessarily know how that top five consensus is going to do this year. Usually it's somewhere in the 50 to 51-52% range, which gets you nowhere in the Super Contest and will probably get you nowhere in the Circa Million as well. So there are a lot of factors. There are a lot of considerations here. With the Golden Nugget, we typically take, you know, the best plays from the Super Contest, our best plays in the NFL, and then I do a lot of the college legwork and, you know, compare to my power ratings and things of that sort. When it comes to the Super Contest, it is a little bit more nuanced because, you know, you're going up against a lot of people. And even the Circa Million this year, first time around, we'll see how things go with that. But when you talk about going up against, you know, 3,500 people in the Super Contest, there are some additional considerations. You know, there are some different things that you absolutely have to look at. You know, do you want to go against the grain? Because a lot of the times, those are two-game swings. Do you want to go with the consensus and just kind of try to keep pace? You know, early on in the season, it's all about picking winners. I don't worry about any of the strategic elements until we get later on in the year. I want to get off to a good start. I want to put myself in a position to hopefully have a shot at the money. You know, it's all about just trying to make winning selections. So that's what I try to do in both of these contests. I don't worry about who's playing what. I don't worry about what the consensus percentages look like at any of the odd services out there. I just want to pick winners. I just want to do everything in my power to position myself for success, to keep myself in the running. Now, the ironic thing of it all is that when it came to the Westgate Super Contest last year, I was 10, 25, and 5 in the NFL over the first 8 weeks of the season. 10, 25, and 5. Now, the problem with the Super Contest, start bad, you're done. You have no chance. So even though I went 31, 13, and 1 over the last 9 weeks of the Super Contest, finished a little bit above 500. Look, with a 10 and 25 start, I was thrilled to get to 500. That was a win for me last year. But obviously, it doesn't get you anywhere near the money. Even 60% in the Super Contest doesn't get you in the money. Typically, the money starts at about 62 or 61.5%. So it is a challenge. But that's the thing. You can't bury yourself early on in these contests. One of the reasons why I gave up Major League Baseball, you know, with still 6-7 weeks left in the season, is to try and avoid exactly that. is to try and get off to a better start in the NFL and also be able to focus a little bit more on my college football handicapping for the purposes of these contests. And look, I understand that, you know, except for the Golden Nugget, which only had, I think, 308 people last year, probably being the 350 or 375 range this year, you know, looking at the Circa Million and the Super Contest, you are a long shot to cash. I fully understand that. But with our Bang the Book name on these contests, with the emphasis we give them, with multiple articles over at the website, and also a lot of conversation here on Bang the Book Radio, you know, it was important for me to put all of my focuses on that. So that's one of the reasons why I gave up baseball, along with the fact that, you know, I just wasn't having a very good season with it. But when you look at these contests here, again, you have to get off to a good start. Now, at least the Circa Million has some quarterly prizes as well. So you do have additional chances to, you know, try and make some money in that. The Super Contest, you really only have the mini contest for weeks 15 through 17. And week 17 could be an absolute mess, depending on playoff scenarios, you know, teams resting guys, things of that sort. So, you know, I think the Circa Million has a little bit more preferred of a format. The entry fee for that was $1,000. The entry fee for the Super Contest, $1,500. Right now, the Circa Million still has a little bit of an overlay with the $1.5 million prize pool. $1 million going to the winner for that. We'll see how many more signups they get this week before, you know, the games start on Thursday here. But overall, you know, I'm going to have a Super Contest segment every Friday, and my Super Contest picks will probably pretty closely mirror my Circa Million picks. Obviously, it depends on the lines that are being posted for these contests and stuff like that. But when it comes to the NFL, you know, I don't have power ratings. I don't see the same amount of equity in power ratings as I do for the college football side. So the NFL, it is a lot of situational stuff. It's a lot of schematic stuff. It's a lot of matchup-based stuff. And it's not to say I don't use that from a college football standpoint. I certainly do. But the starting point for me in college football is the power ratings. The starting point for me in the NFL is, you know, kind of looking at the numbers and seeing where they are, looking around key numbers, looking for any line value you can get, because the NFL, you know, in theory, should be a much closer, much tighter style of play in terms of final scores. You know, so the line should come into play more often than it does. Now, of course, we know in the NFL that the line doesn't come into play as much as you would think with the number of outright upsets and the number of favorites that cover by a large margin. So maybe we get a little bit too tied up in looking at the numbers, but you still want to get as much equity as possible, because it's that one time when you don't get a hook that the game falls on that key number. So with the NFL, I think it's a much different animal from college football. We'll see what this year winds up looking like. Haven't really done too much of my NFL legwork as of yet. I'm going to try to do a lot more of that here over the weekend and early next week. But, you know, look, I think these contests are great. I think that, you know, they generate a lot of interest. As we go, you know, throughout the years here with more legalization on a state-by-state level, maybe we get a multi-state super contest, or, you know, we're going to get different operators putting together different contests. Pennsylvania, for example, where online betting is allowed, as long as you live in the state and have the apps or you have access to the state, you know, the at Bet Rivers, they're doing a pick'em contest. You know, you're just picking straight up winners and you get a point for each winner. So, you know, a lot of contests should be popping up here nationwide as we get legalized sports betting in additional states. So that should be a whole lot of fun. That should be something for us to keep a close eye on here over the years. Obviously, you know, with us, with the website, we focus more on the offshore markets, but we are involved in the Super Contest here. Do want to make sure that we've got that presence, as well as with the Circa Million and the Golden Nugget. So it's this Friday morning segment where I talk about my picks for the Super Contest, you know, a little bit different, obviously. You know, I'm used to being the host. I'm used to asking others about their opinions, and it kind of gives me the opportunity and the platform to talk about some of my thoughts. And, you know, largely been 500 or a little bit above in the Super Contest. You know, we did very well in the Golden Nugget last year. I anticipate doing well in the Golden Nugget again this year. So you know, it should be a lot of fun, but you know, that will be our Friday segment here in the mornings that precedes the odds report with Brent. So just wanted to let you know what that looks like here, you know, for the rest of the NFL season, and kind of give you a little bit of insight into what I'm looking at with my Super Contest thoughts. Now, over at bangthebook.com, I do a Golden Nugget Ultimate Football Challenge recap every Tuesday, and I do a Super Contest article on Saturday, and then a recap article on Tuesday. We'll probably look at one for the Circa Million as well. But for the Super Contest, you know, I go through, I talk about our previous week's results. I talk about, you know, the consensus numbers, the top five consensus, what some of the well-known accounts or well-known contestants are doing in the Super Contest as well. So that's kind of a reporting piece, but where I also report on, you know, the plays that we have, because for this Friday morning segment, you know, a lot of things can happen with practice reports on Fridays in the NFL, injury reports, line moves, stuff like that. We don't have to get our picks to our proxy until 10 a.m. Eastern time on Saturday morning. So I generally have three or four of my plays squared off for the Super Contest segment on that we record on Thursday nights. But then there are sometimes some changes. So you can read that article over at the website. It'll tell you exactly what we're going to play here for the Super Contest and the Circa Million. And then you'll see the Tuesday recap of what we played there in the Golden Nugget. So just some thoughts on how those three contests will be handled over at bangthebook.com. All right, so just to spend a few minutes here talking some college football, then I'm going to stop the recording, cobble together the show, including the segment from Brent. So I'll go ahead and get that up here as quickly as I possibly can. But just taking a look at the college football market here for this weekend. And, you know, it's interesting. We're seeing some Friday movement out there. Wisconsin line going back up a little bit. We're seeing the Colorado line move a little bit. Rutgers getting a little bit more attention as well. But, you know, by and large right now, we're not seeing a whole lot of line activity in the marketplace for Friday or Saturday. And of course, that will change for Saturday. But this is something that's been kind of an interesting development and something that we didn't talk enough about this week on the show. Something we will talk about next week is that, you know, lately we've seen a lot of big money moves on game days. You know, a lot of times we saw a lot of sharper bettors get in with their numbers early in the week, get the best of it, then kind of sit and wait around and see if maybe they wanted to hedge back, partial hedge, do some arbitrage, something like that, depending on how much line value they got. But lately it almost seems like, you know, with injury reports and with some of the different things happening out there in the marketplace, we're seeing a lot of line-moving money come in on Sundays. And it's not just public movement. And the public can move a line. If there's no sharp action on a game and the public's coming in heavily one-sided, that can have an impact. The public can move lines. I don't think people realize that. But the public won't move lines a lot. They won't move lines to the same degree that sharp activity will. But the public can move lines if it's a game where there just hasn't been a whole lot of sharp investment on it, or the risk managers realize, you know what, maybe we're not getting sharp action on this game. We should probably move in response to some of this public activity that we've been getting. It does happen. It's not a frequent thing, but it does happen out there in the marketplace. You know, typically with some of these standalone games where, you know, maybe sharp guys just aren't seeing value, but the public's playing that Monday night football game or that Thursday night spotlight ACC game or something like that. So it can happen. You know, you have to differentiate between the sharp moves and the public moves out there. And that comes with experience. That comes with paying attention to your odds screen, your odds service, paying attention to the work being written up over at bangthebook.com. But it's very important to try and get a feel for the markets and understand the nature of some of these line moves out there. And I just want to tackle a few of these here on the program. You know, let's look at a game, for example, like Mississippi State and Louisiana Lafayette. Game 173-174, not a game that's going to draw a ton of public activity, especially when you look at some of the other games in the 12 o'clock time slot. This one's moving down. You've got Louisiana now down to a 20-point underdog. Line was 22.5, 23 over the summer. Now, again, it's very important to consider the context of a line move. Here you've got an SEC team in what's by and large a neutral site. You know, I mean, it's not in Lafayette. Louisiana has played there multiple times over with the New Orleans Bowl and some of their other neutral site games. But, you know, there's not a big home field advantage for Lafayette. Mississippi State's fans will travel. I mean, you get an excuse to go to New Orleans. That's not a bad thing. The line's coming down. That's a sharp move. When you see Sun Belt action against an SEC team, that's a sharper move in nature. No public activity is enough to move a line when you've got an SEC team against a Sun Belt team. So you can reasonably assume that a line move like that is sharper in nature. Let's look at Ole Miss and Memphis, game 175-176. This number goes down from 6 into the dead zone between 4 and 6, into the 5 and 4.5 range. Now, Memphis has been a very popular sharp team over the last few seasons. They're in an offense-driven conference like the AAC, and they have one of the best offenses out there. Now, they did have some coordinator turnover and stuff like that. Ole Miss, an SEC program, but a middling SEC program, a very middle-of-the-pack type of SEC team. So what is the nature of this line move? You've got an SEC team against a very accomplished AAC team, a very experienced AAC team. Well, here's my take on it, and I could be wrong. I think there is a sharp outlet out there that does like Ole Miss. But this is not an army of sharp money on Ole Miss. When you're sitting there on 6, and it's a game that maybe hasn't been bet a whole lot, and this one probably hasn't been, it's not that hard to go to 5.5 and then to keep moving down. Because there aren't really any key numbers between 4 and 6. It's in that dead zone where a lot of times the market will have a lot of say as to which way that number is going to go. My guess is there's a little bit of sharp money on Ole Miss, and we haven't seen any sharp money on Memphis yet. So the risk managers have to do something. They can't sit there and wonder, will we get Memphis money to balance it out to where we're sitting pretty at 6? They have to move off of that number of 6, go down to 5.5, see if they get some of it back, see if maybe some sharp activity was waiting for a 5.5. You know, you have to react to what you've gotten or to what you're seeing out there in the marketplace. So again, what a line move like this suggests to me, somebody respected or some respected outlet does like Ole Miss a little bit. We haven't seen any sharp action on Memphis, and the public hasn't weighed in too much on this game to balance out the counts. So what you do is you make a little bit of a move. You know, you test the waters. You see what happens out there. And we talked about this a lot in the upcoming segment with Brent. You know, a point of resistance where if you get a sharp hit or even a respected hit from maybe a pseudo sharp type of guy, you have to react. So you react and you go down a little bit and you see, okay, am I getting it back yet? If I go to 5.5, am I starting to get Memphis money? No? Well, let me try going down to 5. Let's see if I get Memphis money at 5. Nope, didn't get Memphis money at 5. Let's try 4.5. Oh, we got some Memphis money back at 4.5. Line goes back up to 5 or 5.5. So that's what it is. It's a balancing act. You know, you think about, you know, just scales. You know, you've got something on the one side of the scale, so you start kind of trying to balance things out by giving some incentive to go to the other side. That's what happens with the risk managers out there in the industry. And when you see line moves, these are the types of conversations and discussions you want to be having internally or with your friends in the business or something like that to see, you know, what is driving this line move? Will I get the number I want if you want to play the other side? Let's look at game 187-188, for example, Virginia Tech and Boston College. This one up from 2.5 to 4.5, even some 5s now popping out there. There was one line move when Ryan Willis got named the starting quarterback at Virginia Tech. And there was another line move, probably based on some sharp action now that limits are higher this week. So you go from 2.5 to 4.5 or 5. That's a substantial move. When you look at some of these other line moves that are out there, you know, going from 20 to 18 or 22 to 20, not of great significance. When you move through key numbers of 3 and 4, that is a great indicator of significant sharp action out there in the marketplace. So what do you do as a risk manager? You keep going until you don't have to go anymore. So right now, kind of waiting to see if there's some sharp action back on Boston College at the 4.5, whether it's somebody trying to middle an early summer 2.5 or just a sharp position getting above that key number of 4, getting on that hook at 4.5. Because look, you know, you're not going to go all the way up to 6. And like I just mentioned, you're in a dead zone between 4 and 6. So you don't really need to do too much more at this point in time. You just sit and wait if you're a risk manager and see if you get that money back. And this is what I love about the study of the market. This is my favorite part of this business, bar none, is being able to sit there and put yourself in the mind of somebody on the other side of the counter and say, you know, what number is this going to wind up getting to? You know, if Boston College goes to 6, there's going to be a lot of activity on that number. At 5.5 and 5, probably not. So maybe that was a bad number from the books. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen next week is that in power ratings across the industry, maybe they had 2.5 or 3 on Virginia Tech. Well, next week, if they remade this line, it would be 5.5 or 6. So what happens is you get adjustments to these teams by the odds makers so that when they put out their opening number next week, Virginia Tech will be probably 2, 2.5 points higher than they would have been had this line not moved. So those are the things that you want to look for out here in the marketplace and why it's so important to follow along with these line movements. Even if you're not comfortable with betting on a game yet, even if you're somebody who's, you know, scared off by injury risk or trying to get your bankroll affairs in order, something like that, or it's a game that you don't even like, a game that's not even on your radar, keep an eye on the odds screen. See the opener. See the closer. Try to notate the times when these lines actually moved. You know, if it's a Monday or a Tuesday move, that's a sharp syndicate with a lot of clients that they want to get the pick out to. If it's a Thursday or Friday move, limits have increased. So you're going to have people probably, you know, personal bettors and maybe some of the other syndicates and groups that are out there getting down on that number now because they can get more money down on Thursday than they could on Monday. And then on Saturday, maybe a target number came up that somebody wanted. Or maybe some sharp outlet out there is looking at the market and saying, I want an 11.5, but I'll take 11 because my number is 8.5 or 9. So the timing of these line moves is also something of great significance. So you want to follow along with that in the marketplace as well. And again, just common sense stuff, you know, common sense things. You see a line move on a Conference USA team against an SEC team. That's not a public line move. The public's not betting Conference USA against SEC. It's a sharp move. MAC against Big Ten. It's a sharp move. So, yeah, sometimes you can get overwhelmed by all of the numbers, by all the games that are out there, but use common sense, use a feel for the market, and study the market so that you can develop more of that intuition and also understand who's moving these numbers. What's going to be the stopping point, the point of resistance? If you like the other side, you've got to know when the point of resistance is because it might show up for a half hour before somebody hits it and bumps it back down. So again, this is all part of the betting process. The handicapping process is studying the game, is studying the matchups, is studying the situational elements. There is a concrete difference between betting and handicapping. Handicapping is what people do in the industry writing game previews and things of that sort and factoring in situational elements, coaching things, motivation, stuff like that. Betting comes in with knowing when to enter the market, knowing where to get the numbers, knowing what number you want to get, shopping around for the best prices that are out there. That's the betting side of it. There are two very different things between betting and handicapping, both of them important in different ways. But, you know, again, that's really the difference. A lot of people can handicap a game. Not a lot of people can bet a game, getting a good piece of the number as opposed to setting for the worst of it, getting the number at the right time. You know, sometimes you may get a game you really like it at -3.5. All of a sudden it goes down to 3, and you're sitting there thinking, damn it, I could have had -3. Being able to read the market, understanding the context that's out there, very, very important to your bottom line. So there is a difference between betting and handicapping, and it's very important to know that, and we'll talk about that a lot here on these shows. So hopefully I didn't ramble too much for you there, just taking care of this top segment by myself. The last segment here for this week on Bang the Book Radio is the odds report with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. We talked about some of these same things, points of resistance for the Lions, some sharp action that came in for college football, and revisited the sharp action that we talked about last week on the segment. So a great segment here with Brent from DSI Sportsbook.
All right, I'm joined now by Brent, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook in what I presume, as I talked about last week, is probably very sunny Costa Rica. Brent, how's it going today, man?
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, we talked about before, even during, you know, quote unquote rainy season or green season here, you still have, you know, sun most times in the day, which is the case here. And then the afternoon it clouds over, and then we get some rain, sometimes torrential rain. But you can, you know, almost as sure as God made green apples, they wake up the next day, it's going to be sunny again. So look forward to that every day and a nice sunny morning.
Well, I got to say, I just got back from Vegas a couple days ago, and it was a very hot and dry, 110 degrees out there. I imagine the humidity is the biggest issue in Costa Rica.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you talk about Vegas. I just love that place. And people always, you know, they say, oh, you know, it took a vacation. Where'd you go? And I go to Vegas, and people are like, you work in the gambling industry, and you take a, you know, and you live in a hot, sunny place, and you take a vacation, you go to a hot, sunny place where there's gambling. I guess I'm a type.
Yeah, I guess that's called a degenerate. That's what we call them here in the industry. So are you a craps guy? Are you a blackjack guy? What are you?
I mean, you know, I know I have a negative EV, a negative, you know, expected value when I play a game like roulette. The numbers are just obviously, I think it's one of the highest games in terms of the casino hold percentage against me. But I just like it. And, you know, it's funny because I shouldn't play based on the math and stuff like that. But the only one, the one thing I do that many people don't do is when I get up, I walk away. I'm ahead, I walk away. And I do that consistently. And it happened last time I was there. I was there this year as well. I sat down, first number I played came up. I played, okay. So I thought, okay, I'm going to play the second number because I got kind of a number in mind. Played the second number, it came up as well. So I had two spins of the wheel. Basically, well, more than double my money, obviously, and walked away. And I was like, damn, I was planning on playing for a while.
Well, you know what? Maybe you just have a fetish for numbers. Maybe that's why you gravitate to roulette. I don't know. There's got to be some kind of name for a fetish for numbers. I don't know. Maybe one of our listeners knows it out there.
Fetish for numbers.
Let's
not go
to
down
us.
That road.
Yeah, right. All right, let's not. So you and I were talking before we started recording here that, you know, watching the board light up, I mean, it excites me every day. It doesn't matter if it's week one, if it's week eight, week 15. I don't care. It's just exciting to see the market moving. Seeing those numbers going up, going down, all that type of thing. Do you just fall right back into rhythm with the start of a new season?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the thing is we obviously have, you know, our handful of sharp bettors in house, but there's a lot of guys who are out there in the market who don't bet specifically here. So like you'll see, you know, movement on some games and you think, wow, you know, who bet that and where do they bet that? And you kind of like, oh, I wonder who that was. And, you know, sometimes you can get a feel based on what book moves first, you know, how sharp the guy was. And you can also, you know, kind of watch things and see how quickly a number gets bet back or if it runs away on one side, because you get that a lot of push and pull in a lot of games. And there's always a number where, you know, if you go low enough on one side, a sharp guy is going to bet it. And there's always a number on the other side. If you go high enough, a sharp guy is going to bet it. I mean, you know, I've talked about this before. If you ask a sharp guy and say, hey, you know, who do you like in this game? He'll say, well, you know, what's the price? What's the number? Then I'll tell you who I like. I mean, if I got to lay 2.5, well, you know, I like team A. If I'm taking +6.5, well, I like team B.
All right. So once again, for our listeners here, as we go throughout these segments with Brent over the course of the college football and the NFL seasons, and we typically do this all the way up until the Super Bowl, so we get a chance to talk about props and all that type of stuff. Sort your odds screen by rotation number if you're following along, because that's how we're going to be going through these games. And dude, this is one that we talked about with some sharp action last week, but you mentioned that push and pull, and I think this game is really interesting for that. Game 149-150, Wisconsin and South Florida on Friday night. Again, we mentioned this game last week with some sharp action on the Badgers.
Yeah, the sharp money I got initially on Wisconsin was at -10. I think the lowest opening number, you know, out there at all was 9.5. And that one, I believe when we talked about it last week, the number had gotten up to 13.5. And we actually, you had asked me about, you know, if you've got money one way, my bet count is almost about 2 to 1 favoring Wisconsin as well. I mean, you asked the question is, you know, why sit at 13.5? If everyone's 13.5, why not go to 14 and see if, you know, kind of fishing for some money back. And we talked about how, you know, it was early and I mentioned that you kind of want to sit back and see how the market adjusts. I mean, is someone out there waiting for a 14 to pop and then they grab it, or they're waiting for a limit to go higher and then they grab the other side, or it's just kind of found its way and is 13.5 was the right number and you kind of hope to balance that and almost right off the -10 and hope a game like that doesn't land. This one here, we're talking about South Florida. We're all the way down at 10.5 as well on this one. So this one went from, you know, an opener here at 10 where I got bet by sharp money up to 13.5 and now back to 10.5. Now, I didn't take a sharp bet here on the other side on South Florida, but obviously somewhere in the market, you know, it did happen. You've got every, you know, every big book in the world pretty much is out there at 10.5 now.
So obviously for you as a risk manager, I mean, this is really where your part of the job comes in. You get sharp money on Wisconsin, so your books are imbalanced. Somebody else got sharp money on South Florida, 13 or 13.5. You've got to go with the market so that you're not exposed for you know, that sharp better to find another 13. But at the same time, it limits your ability to get South Florida money back. So how do you handle that situation where you've got to go with the market, but you're still imbalanced?
Yeah, you kind of take a stand sometimes. And again, opening week is always, you know, kind of, I guess, fortunate that you know, when you get bet early enough, you've got lower limits. So your risk in terms of a dollar value may not be as high. Your risk in terms of line movement is probably higher than it will be later on in the season, just because as the season goes on, you know, ideally our numbers get sharper as we move along. So there is that kind of that you throw into it. And again, like I said, you asked me, you know, just kind of an experience thing as well. You asked me about why not being at, you know, at 14 on Wisconsin and get that money back. And that's the whole reason why. Like, if, you know, a situation like this is really a good example, and I'm glad you mentioned that, just because you can kind of go with the market and see when it's going to come back. And if the market starts going down, like say when everyone was 11.5 on Wisconsin, I had got bet at Wisconsin at 10 and 12. If I want to hang, say, a half point higher or even a whole point higher at numbers like 11 and 12, maybe not a big deal. I can at least be more attractive to someone who wants to grab back that South Florida. Saying if everyone in the market is 11 and I'm giving 12, you know, someone's going to say, okay, if you're going to give me 12 instead of 11, I may as well take it. So it's kind of just, you just kind of get a feel for things, and this situation actually worked out perfectly and that the money did come back the other way. And our risk really, I mean, our only risk is, you know, landing on 10 and paying one side instead of, you know, the money canceling out on both sides. So this one worked out for us. Obviously it doesn't work out that way all the time. Sometimes you hold on to a number and, you know, maybe the whole market did move to 14 or 14.5 and you kind of think, wow, I wish I could grab the bet back the other way at plus 14, but it just kind of an experience thing and a feel for games.
Now, one game I do want to talk about that has some sharp action in the marketplace, it hasn't necessarily come in there with you at DSI, but game 153-154, UMass and Rutgers. And this is one of those conversations that you and I have had before that, you know, sharp bettors find value in their numbers, and they don't really care which team it is. The idea of Rutgers being bet up into a 16-point favorite against anybody is kind of astonishing, but that is the case here, and it illustrates some of the talking points we had last week.
Yeah, I mean, Rutgers and UMass, it's not one of those marquee games, and it's not like, you know, a whole lot of public money is probably going to be bet on that game unless someone's sitting down and watching it. So that's a number that it looks like was driven up by sharp money, and going from 10, it looks like the lowest opening number was 10. Obviously, fortunately, I didn't get bet on that price, but we're all the way up to 16. And like, if you're talking about an opening number going that high, you know, it really is quite a substantial move. The only thing, like, as you're sitting on my side of the counter, you hope that kind of you take, you know, full point jumps at that point, going from like 10 to 11 or 12, and to find your kind of your number where it's going to settle as quickly as possible. And you also do that with lower limits, and hopefully you don't get bet for, you know, max bets on numbers like 10. Like, if you're taking a max bet at minus 10, you're ending up at 16, and there's sharp guys hitting you all the way up there, then you're really in a bad, bad spot. If you take, you know, low limits at 10, you move right away to 11, and you kind of find, like, your, say, your 13, 16 range quickly, you're in a much better spot. So it's just a feeling out process in terms of where a number is going to settle and trying to limit your risk in terms of taking smaller bets to get to that point.
Now, let's illustrate that from our side. We've been talking about it from your side of the counter. And by our side, I mean, you know, us, the listeners here, and myself. Game 157-158, Purdue and Nevada. This number did touch 11.5. I missed it with traveling back home and all that yesterday. We're recording on Thursday night, so maybe it's back to 11.5 now. I don't know, but that's one where a number may have popped up, and somebody out there, and right now it's me, is sitting there going, I want to wait for an 11.5. I may not get one. So is there a way that you can kind of, as a bettor, see into the market and kind of figure out if you're going to get that desired number or not?
It is difficult for sure, because you have to know what's driving certain prices. Now, you know, the sharp guy, say, on Purdue who laid minus 7 might not be, the sharp guy who laid Purdue minus 10 or whatever. It might be the public who got on that side and said, yeah, you know, that's what drove it up. And we talked about before, we're not only moving on sharp money, we're moving on bets we take, you know, regardless of who they're from. a case like that, like just hypothetically speaking, let's say sharp money came in on Purdue minus seven and the public, you know, kind of tailed with it all, you know, all the way up from 9.5 to 10. You're talking about a situation now where your bet count is probably 4 to 1, one side. You took sharp money on one, you know, on Purdue on the favorite, and you got public money the same side. So it's like, how far that is that number going to go? When you see if it pop up to like 11.5, we, you know, on this side of the counter, we kind of have to find the point. Like I said, where a number is going to settle, what's it going to take for me to get money back the other way? And if, you know, a number like 10 or 11.5 popped up on Purdue and came back the other way, then you kind of found, okay, that's where it is. You know, the Thursday game is a good example as well. We're talking the Cincinnati and UCLA game. We had sharp money on UCLA early at +3.5. Number dropped all the way down to 2. We got Cincinnati money and then kind of backed up to where we are at 2.5 right now. Now, if someone's sitting there saying, you know, wow, you know, I wish I could get, you know, UCLA plus, you know, at least 3, is that going to come? You really have to watch the markets and see where, you know, where it's going, because generally speaking, the sharp guys are going to grab the, you know, your key numbers as well. The Purdue example is one where you're talking about 11.5. And again, 11.5 obviously is not a key number, but every half point is worth something.
Yeah, that's very true. And so for our listeners out there, you want to look for that resistance point, you know, where kind of the book gets to a number, starts to get that nibble back. That's the number that's probably not coming back for you. I mean, maybe this one does go to 11.5. It'll probably take some, you know, decent investment to get there. But again, you look for that resistance point in the marketplace. Once a couple of these sports books get it, that's when you know as a bettor, you better grab that number and hope that you can get in there, or realize that, you know, maybe you do have to take a +11 here instead of an 11.5. And again, not that 11 is a number of significance, really, as we just talked about, but especially when you're dealing with 2.5, 3, 3.5, 6, 6.5, 7, 7.5, that's where you really want to pay close attention, because those resistance points come a lot easier around those key numbers.
Yeah, and you talk about how, you know, 11.5 and 11 is probably not a big deal, and you are right. I mean, the difference between 10.5 and 11 and, you know, 11.5, it really isn't that much. But if you think about it in terms of just, and again, I'm just kind of expressing this in a different way to think about things. If you think about that, a standard half point is worth, you know, 10 cents, and you're betting, say, $100 bet. Well, that's $10 for the first half, and that's $10 for the second half. So, you know, if someone was going to, you know, if you found $20 on the floor, would you pick it up and put it in your pocket? Probably. I mean, why wouldn't you, kind of thing, you know, as long as no one was looking right at that. So that's what I say, like the difference between 10.5 and 11.5, if you're grabbing it, if you think about it that way, it starts making a little bit more sense.
All right. So as we move ahead to Saturday here, we had some Ohio State sharp action last week. There's still 27.5 out there in the market. Had some Nebraska activity on the over for their game against South Alabama, game 163-164. Anything else on those two games? I mean, have the counts gotten a little bit more lopsided on the sharper sides?
Yeah, I mean, Ohio State is kind of settled there at 27.5. Last week when we did this call, the Nebraska total had been 65, and it's gone up to 66.5 now. So I've got more money on the over now. Since that time, I haven't taken another sharp bet. The only one came at over 64, that South Alabama-Nebraska game, but the public has gone the same way. So my wager count's almost like 3-1 on that total, which brings me to 66.5 where I am right now, and pretty much everyone in the market is there as well.
Now, here's something that just caught my eye here. Game 167-168, Akron and Illinois. There was a prominent site out there. For the life of me, I can't remember who it is. I'm not just doing that because I don't want to direct traffic to one of our competitors. I can't remember where it came out. But there was a very big bet on Illinois out in Las Vegas. Is that something that you follow? Do you sort of keep an eye on, you know, what happens with the brick and mortars? Or are you just mostly focused on, you know, the offshore market and what your competitors are doing?
Yeah, pretty much mostly focused on what our competitors are doing, mostly on the offshore market. I would say there's, you know, the Westgate is probably the most, I guess, reputable casino, if you want to say, out there in terms of the Vegas guys who are, you know, probably sharper, take higher limit bets and stuff like that. So they're probably one of the more aggressive ones out there. They're, you know, other than the, you know, the big chains, if you will, of casinos out in Vegas, I would say that's probably the one that you would pay attention to.
All right, so we move here to game 181-182 as we get to talk about some new sharp action in the marketplace. South Carolina, North Carolina, neutral site game in Charlotte. And this is a substantial line move in this game.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I got bet here on South Carolina at -9.5. That's where I took sharp money. So sharp money on South Carolina -9.5. We're up to 11.5 right now. I do see like this one did open as low as 7.5 out there. And again, you know, you're throwing these numbers out there. The idea is that you're going to get as much money bet on both teams. You want as much bet on South Carolina as you do on North Carolina. So 7.5 seemed like the right number when this one was opened at whatever sportsbook opened that low. And again, it's kind of, you know, it's not necessarily out there picking the winner and saying, okay, I think South Carolina is going to win this game by, you know, 7 or 8 points. That's not what you're doing. You're saying, you know, how much attention from the bettors are you going to get on both sides? And you're just looking for a number that's going to kind of split that up. Obviously 7.5 was way low. My sharp, you know, in store, I got bet at 9.5. So that wasn't, you know, that wasn't high enough. And 11.5 is where everyone is right now. I'm fortunate in that I, you know, North Carolina is, you know, more of a, I guess you want to say like a brand name school. It's not like they're, you know, they're an unheard of school or one that doesn't get much attention. So, I do have, you know, my count is fairly close. My money, because the sharp bet I took, you know, is one sided for, South Carolina. Other than the 9.5, I really haven't got anything sharp. Bet back the other way, but just continued, you know, to come back and forth on this, on both sides. And again, I'm kind of fortunate in that case in that my only exposure is just kind of like part of the initial sharp bet, as I've got good two-way action since then.
All right, so let's take a look here at game 187-188 in the ACC, Virginia Tech and Boston College. Interestingly enough here, there is some sharp money on the side. It's the total that you guys got some sharp money on, but the side has also been climbing here.
Yeah, and again, you know, I didn't take, you know, obviously we talk about how you know, how you manage things and where you go with the market. Well, everyone, you know, everyone here on VTech is basically 4.5 or some places are holding a 4 with juice, not wanting to move off that number. You know, it's an interesting game to look at just because this number did, I think the lowest number out in the market was a 2.5 on Virginia. Now, when you see books sitting at 4 right now and then putting 4 -115 or whatever, it's like those are the guys who probably opened that 2.5, maybe got bet heavy at 2.5, and you really don't want to go off 4 if you don't have to. If someone opened later and opened up, say, 3 or 3.5, you might be more inclined to go to 4.5 to get money back the other way, so that your only risk is really a game landing 4. So, you know, where you open is really, really key in terms of how you manage the side. You know, myself, I did not get bet on VTech at, you know, -3 or 3.5. I didn't get sharp money on that one at all. I did get sharp money on the over, though. That came at over 57. 58.5 is where I am right now. I think there's some 58s out there still. This one opened as low as 56.5, but I got bet by sharp money to over 57.
Now, maybe some interesting correlation here with the side and total. Is that something that you pay attention to when you see one side going up and also one part of the total going up? I mean, does that sort of catch your eye a little bit more?
Sometimes. I mean, it depends pretty much, you know, on the, you know, on the spread and the total, you know, where they're going. I mean, if you've got, you know, a big, big favorite who's getting bet up and the numbers going up, say, Nebraska, South Alabama, for example, that line opened, you know, I opened at 33.5, I think it was. I'm at 36 right now. So the money's going up on Nebraska. The total's open at 63.5 and we're up to 66.5 right now. So you've got kind of a spread and a total going the same way. There's more of a correlation that way. You kind of get the wrong impression, if you will, that the sharp money on the over is the right money because the, you know, the big favorite side is going up as well.
All right, one more game to touch on here with some sharp action on the college side. Georgia and Vanderbilt, game 201-202. Sharp action is probably not going to surprise anybody regarding this game.
Yeah, I guess not. I mean, we're sitting at 22, which again is kind of like a, you know, not a real relevant, not a significant number, but I did take sharp money here on Georgia. I've got a wager count also favoring Georgia of about 2-1. So again, not a crazy count, one sided. 2-1's not bad for me. We'll see, like, you know, when big marquee teams get run away, you'll see counts up to, like, say, 4-1, 5-1. I mean, 5-1 is a real substantial count, but, you know, it's kind of a typical count with a 2-1 one way. So I do have public money going with Georgia, which probably is no surprise. 20.5 is where I got bet, sitting at 22 right now. And again, this is one of those things where you just kind of sit there and see what the market does. Again, 22, if I went to 22.5, you know, would I really have any exposure? You know, probably not. When you hit to 23, even, you're really not kind of at risk of going up that high when you know, considering the fact that I opened at 20.5. Now, if this was number that opened, like, say, 17.5, you'd be more inclined to hold. So I wouldn't be surprised if this number went up.
All right, one more college game I want to talk about here. No sharp action to discuss, but this is something that can happen here in late August, in September, in October. Boise State and Florida State. We have a time change. We have a venue change. We also have this game reposted as game 299-300 on the rotation order. So sort of walk us through that process, Brent, of, you know, when it's action, when it's not, what the house rules are. And also some of these games here in the non-conference may wind up with a running clock or may end up suspended because of weather. So how does that all factor in?
Yeah, I mean, the venue obviously is has to be, you've got to be playing at the same venue. We've seen that, you know, several times last year, I believe as well. It happened, you know, numerous times where the venue got changed due to hurricane season or whatever it was. And also there were times when games got moved from the, you know, the day as well. So it's got to be played on the same day and at the same time. You talk about, the same place and the same day. Talk about the duration of games. Again, we have actually in preseason, we had a shortened game. The rule is 55 minutes of play for the, you know, the game to have action. Second half, so obviously that applies as well. You've got to play the full second half. 55 minutes of play is for the game. In a case like that, your first half action would still have action, but just the game in the second half would be impacted if it didn't go the full 55 minutes.
Now, what about games that get canceled? You know, from a season win total standpoint, how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, it really sucks when that happens. You figure, you know, most teams, you try and make those up. But yeah, they all teams have to play their, you know, their regular allotment of scheduled games. So that's kind of just like a basic rule. And I guess it kind of sucks sometimes for, you know, a guy who bets, say, you know, over 6.5 and a team's already got, say, 7 wins, but they don't play their full complement. But, I mean, it puts us in a bad position as well, because you can't just grade the over, you got to grade the under as well, and it's not fair to the guy who bet the over or the under.
All right, so let's transition over to the NFL side here, and we don't have any new sharp action to discuss for week one. I'm sure we'll have plenty on next week's segment. But the big story in the NFL this week, obviously, Andrew Luck. The impact of him, what his impact is to the betting line. So how did you guys handle that situation at DSI?
Yeah, it's a real tough spot because, you know, when you look at a situation like this, and it was really quite a surprise. I mean, there's not many like big events like that. I mean, you talk about, you know, things that can affect a regular season wins or, you know, the odds to win the championship or whatever. There's not a whole lot of things that are, you know, quite as big as this. You know, maybe someone like LeBron changing teams, you could throw out there would be like, you know, a big one. Actually, this NBA season, the offseason, all, you know, all the kind of pairings of superstars that went on, those really affected the markets. This is a case where a guy just kind of decided to hang him up. And it's not just, you know, it affects many other markets as well. You're talking about, you know, the games that are usually up in advance. You're talking about the odds to win the division, the conference, the Super Bowl. In a case like Luck, you're talking about his, you know, who's going to be the leading passer in terms of yards for the season. So you want to adjust those. The MVP of, you know, of the league as well. So you have to adjust those a little bit. And it's really, you know, you kind of have to like just throw numbers out there and see where they settle. I mean, the Colts, just for example, in the Super Bowl, they were around 12-1, I believe it was. You know, and they were one of those teams where the public, you know, quite liked and were betting on both for the division and the Super Bowl. So they went from about 12-1 to somewhere around 30-1. I think we got as high as 60-1 and came back down to where we are right now, around 40-1. So it's one of those things where you just kind of have to adjust, tweak, and just kind of, you know, find the number that it's going to settle down at.
Now, also, too, I mean, you kind of have to factor into the equation as well that, you know, Jacoby Brissett has been a full-time starter before. He's been getting the first-team reps. So, you know, in terms of, say, an adjustment to the game spread for week one, you know, I mean, does Brissett having experience, having, you know, the preseason reps matter? Or do you just sort of look at a number for Andrew Luck and say, well, he's worth this much, so that's what we're going to take off?
Yeah, that's the thing. You obviously have to, I mean, you know, going back to like the baseball kind of thing with the, like the wins over replacement that they use as a measure quite a bit. In a case like this with Brissett, yeah, he's a guy who, and the thing with Brissett, it's not like he hasn't played games before and he's played in the same system as well. When you're talking about the division here with the Colts, it's really interesting because it's not like, you know, there's really strong teams within that division. I mean, you go years and years back and these teams were all kind of like between, you know, 6 wins, 7 wins, 8 wins, 9 wins. There wasn't a whole lot to choose between them. And, you know, the Texans, I mean, you know, previously, these are one of the teams I would kind of fade the most. And you talk about Luck. Well, what's going on with Clowney as well? I mean, what's his value to the team? Now, the question, if they trade Clowney away, and I think last we heard today was, I think Philadelphia and Seattle were in the mix. Miami was in the mix a few days ago as well. So, I mean, how does that affect Houston? So, okay, yeah, Luck's gone, but we're going to compare Luck versus Clowney. And let's say, you know, they do make a trade, they do deal Clowney, and they get draft picks instead of an immediate impact person. Well, you know, okay, the Texans are now a little bit weaker on defense as well. Jaguars, for example, they got a new offensive coordinator, new quarterback. Their offensive system is all new. In terms of depth, how good is Jacksonville? I mean, if they lose somebody. So, you know, Tennessee, their defense is probably one of the most overvalued in the NFL. They got a, you know, offensive coordinator who's, you know, we're going to find out. Their head coaching isn't that great. So, you know, maybe they're not as strong as well. I mean, so, you know, you got the Texans who are probably going to lose Clowney, and we're looking at one of those teams that sharp guys were probably going to fade this season. The Jaguars got a whole lot of changes going on. The Titans just seem to be overvalued and just not that great of a team. And the Colts, well, I mean, they've got one of the, you know, probably the best offensive line in the division, if not the conference. They got, you know, they got depth. You know, I don't know. I just don't think that the Colts are really that bad of a team, even without Luck. I you know, that's my opinion at least.
Well, so I guess that would be my follow-up question here is, when you get a scenario like this, and obviously it's very rare. I mean, you know, usually it's going to be a wide receiver tears an ACL or a running back tears an ACL, something like that. When you get a situation like this, what is that process like? I mean, you guys call like an emergency staff meeting and, you know, try to see what everybody thinks about it. You know, do you take the lead as the head risk manager? How does that whole dynamic play out?
Yeah, it's me initially, and the first thing you hope for is that you're in the office when something like this happens. I mean, if you're at home,
were you there?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. So that was kind of fortunate, but yeah, it's a matter of you just kind of have to sit back and wait at first, take a deep breath, and say, okay, what do we think the right number is? Let's look at what's going on in the marketplace as well, and just lower the limits and just kind of gradually work your way until something just basically settles. You know, I talked about them winning the Super Bowl. They basically went from 12 to 50 back to 40, where we are right now, and just kind of, you know, the number has to settle, and the market is who determines that. You take a look at if this happened in another division, like I said, I think the division that the Colts are in is one where, you know, those other teams just don't make a whole lot of convincing arguments that they're that much better than the Colts, even without Luck. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll find out. But you take a look at a division like, say, the NFC East, Dallas, Philadelphia, Washington, New York. I think most people would agree that Washington and New York, in terms of the Giants, just don't have a chance. Now, so you're talking about a two-horse race, whereas in, you know, the Colts division right now, I think it's still a four-horse race.
Now, I guess the last thing I'll ask here, because this kind of intrigues me, you know, when you think back to the old days, you know, sometimes bettors would get, quote-unquote, inside information. They'd find things out before other people would. Other times the sportsbooks would find things out before other people would. Did you have any inkling about this Luck thing before it happened? Did you find out at the same time all of us did with that Adam Schefter tweet?
Yeah. Everyone pretty much found out, I think, at the same time. The only one who I guess knew about it was the Colts himself, because apparently they had been working on this deal about a week before the settlement that they came with. So it was like, the Colts had at least a week beforehand where they knew about it. But, you know, the rest of us were kind of, I guess you want to say, blindsided by it all as well.
Well, I mean, at least the nice thing is with somebody like Schefter, you know, it's probably legit. I mean, obviously there's parody accounts and stuff like that out there, but, you know, with it being Schefter, it's something where you do have to react pretty quickly. And, you know, like you said, fortunately you were in the office. I mean, if you're not in the office, is it like, you know, a doctor on call, or you just, you know, speeding down to the office, or what?
Yeah, no, honestly, what would happen initially is our, you know, our night people would just take the whole thing off the board and kind of just wait until morning, perhaps, to wake me up or whatever it was the case like that. But yeah, it's, you know, you have to kind of play defense first. You don't want to be aggressive in terms of hanging a number that's not valid anymore.
All right, last thing here on the NFL then. You know, these lines have also been up for a long time, much like college football. When do you anticipate seeing some movement for the week one NFL market?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see that probably until, you know, say Thursday, Wednesday of next week or whatever. If you look at these numbers, and again, there just hasn't been a whole lot of movement. I mean, you know, Atlanta, Minnesota, just going the first number on the board, open at 4.5. Minnesota is sitting at 4 right now. They opened 47.5. It's still 47.5. Pop down to Washington, Philadelphia. That opened 8. It's sitting at 8.5 right now. Totals moved a half a point. Just not a whole lot of movement at all. I mean, one of the, you know, the biggest moving games, if you will, would be the Detroit game that we talked about as sharp, where sharp money was on Detroit -1. It's up to 2.5 right now. You know, we talked about last week, actually, with the San Francisco total of sharp money came in on that at over 49. Last week we talked about it, and it was only the total had gone to 49.5. This week, you know, it's gone to 50. So, you know, right now we're sitting at 50 on that one. So it's kind of like it's just a gradual, you know, gradual move on that one. Baltimore is one of those teams that has moved more so. They did open, I think it was 3.5. That number is pretty much 5 everywhere. That's one of those games where I just kind of get a sneaky suspicion that sharp money might be coming back on Miami. You know, we talked about before how it's kind of like almost going fishing sometimes. You're just waiting for a number to pop up. I think if someone popped up a 6 on Miami, you'd see that get grabbed right away. You know, my count right now on Baltimore, even though I don't have a ton of early action, my count is about 3, almost 4-1 on Baltimore right now. So you kind of get the feeling that that's just a public side driving that. And Miami, in terms of public, you know, they certainly seem like a team that the public would fade at this point.
Brent, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook in Costa Rica. Lots of great stuff talking about here today. Even though we didn't have a lot of sharp action to report, I'm sure we'll have a lot more next week with line adjustments in college football and week 1 of the NFL. But Brent, always a treat, man. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll talk to you again next week.
Always great to talk to you, Adam.
There you go. There's Brent, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook in Costa Rica, finishing out this week here for us on Bang the Book Radio. Coming up on our Monday edition of Bang the Book Radio, I'll do the bettors box to start things off for the first half of the show. Then we'll have Kyle Hunter from huntersportspicks.com. Big week in college football going from week 1 to week 2 with all the adjustments and all that different type of stuff. So I guarantee you we'll have plenty to talk about in that week 2 college football first look segment. Lots of great content for this weekend over at bangthebook.com covering all things college football for you, plus NASCAR and some other stuff. So make sure you take a look over at bangthebook.com. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, and I will talk to you again on Monday.